Is the time and place set for oral argument in Desage versus AW Finance Group, case number 71919. I hope I pronounced the case correctly. Is counsel ready to proceed? Please approach, and if you wish to reserve time for rebuttal, let the clerk know how much time you want.
Thank you, Your Honor. As a preliminary matter, I beg leave of the court. I have a cough that comes on out of nowhere and can last for any length of time. So I have a lozenge in my mouth that helps. So I just want you to know I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm trying to make sure we don't have a problem. Thank you, Your Honors. Justices Pickering, Perigary, and Kadish, may it please the court. Jacqueline Gilbert, on behalf of Ramon Desage and Cadu Express, whom I will refer to collectively as Desage, I would like to reserve 6 minutes for rebuttal. This court should vacate the judgment of the district court for lack of jurisdiction in the first instance. The district court should have dismissed AW's original complaint and sent the parties to California for everything. The district court compounded its mistake by determining under Nevada law that it had jurisdiction to confirm the arbitration award. This also requires vacating the district court's judgment. If this court gets to the merits, I believe that's, unless you have questions, that's fully briefed. This court asked two questions prior to argument. First, do the provisions of the RUAA, Section 26B and NRS 38.2442, divest the district court of subject matter jurisdiction to confirm an award where the parties agreed to and did perform the arbitration outside of Nevada? The short answer is yes. The district court had no jurisdiction to confirm the award. Question two, if divested, can the parties waive or vary the jurisdictional limit, and to what extent in light of 38.217 RUAA Section 4, comments 4D and 5E? The short answer is no. The parties cannot waive the jurisdiction over confirmation. But even if they could, it didn't happen here. As to jurisdiction, first, 26B provides for exclusive jurisdiction to confirm the place the parties agreed to arbitrate. An agreement to arbitrate providing for arbitration in this state confers exclusive jurisdiction on the court to enter judgment on the award. The case law that you cited in the order supports this. Where the parties agreed to arbitrate in their agreement controls the place of confirmation. Where there's no venue specified for arbitration, then the place of arbitration determines the place of confirmation. And the policy behind this is clear. It prevents exactly what happened here. Forum shopping for confirmation. That's in comment 26.3. So let's look at the agreement. The applicable law here is that the contract would be construed under California law as if made and wholly performed in California. That cuts out a nexus outside of California. And it specifically called for LA County. And looking at the state and federal courts within LA County, CCP 395 and 395.5 do not contemplate granting jurisdiction outside of California. When it says a petition made or that jurisdiction resides in the county where it was wholly made, where the contract was made, that's considered LA County here. And judgment upon any such dispute, we're back to the agreement, may be enforced in other jurisdictions by suit on the judgment or in any other matter that is available under applicable law. Well, Desage does not dispute that you can domesticate a judgment, that once you have a judgment, you can take it wherever there is jurisdiction over the person to be charged, domesticate it, and enforce it.
Well, but the language in the contract says a decision in any such arbitration shall apply and shall be binding and shall be enforceable in any court having jurisdiction over the party to be charged, which suggests to me, it doesn't say a judgment on an arbitration award may be enforceable, you know, it's portable state to state. It says a decision in any such arbitration shall be enforceable in any court having jurisdiction over the party. And that's a bit of concern. It suggests a question about can the parties contractually expand the forums available for review of an arbitration award, and did they do so in this case?
Sure. Pardon me, Your Honor. And I was going to look at that. It talks about enforcement of the award, but enforcement of the award has
of the decision, is not the award. Enforcement of the decision is the language.
But enforcement, everybody compounds enforcement and confirmation together. And they were actually two separate things. You have to first get an award. It has to be confirmed. Once it's confirmed, you can enforce it. And I think that's what happens here. They've used the word enforce a judgment in the first clause. They want to use a different word here and have it have greater meaning in this clause. And I don't think you can. You're looking at a contract as a whole, and they're asking you to say, well, enforcement means that I can take the award anywhere I want, where there's jurisdiction over the party to be charged, and go directly from award to enforcing it against the party and get a writ. That's not the case. You still have to confirm the award. And that's the problem here. All the case law that you gave suggests and actually supports that confirmation is part of the proceedings and it's required before enforcement.
Let me ask you this. Our courts in Nevada, our district court judges, they're courts of general jurisdiction. And so conventionally, subject matter jurisdiction, because they're not courts of limited jurisdiction, they presumptively, if the mountain controversy's there, 15,000, they have jurisdiction. And why is it that in this case, on an award in California, it couldn't be enforced in Nevada as a contract, as a contracted result, even not under the UAA? I mean, we have FAA cases that get enforced in Nevada courts all the time, and I don't think FAA requires that the venue be where the arbitration occurred. I don't know. I didn't look at that.
And I don't know if the FAA contains the same provision, which is confirmation takes place in the same location as the arbitration. I don't know if the FAA
has I don't think it does, but I don't know.
Which I think that is a difference here between the two, is that there is the provision here, and what's happened throughout this case is that AW has smushed, for lack of a better word,
that's a good word,
confirmation and enforcement together. And they're different processes. And I think that the court needs to keep that apart. And in this agreement, they want to use it as two different meanings. And I don't think they can do that.
We were to credit your argument that there was that this case should be reversed for want of jurisdiction, district court should have originally dismissed it, and not stayed it and kept it and gone on. Where would they be as far as, has the time run to get confirmation of the award in California? Does the record show that?
I don't believe it shows that at this time, and I'm not aware. I know Vacator has, I don't believe there is a time, they don't have to wait. I know Vacator is 90 days. But that petition or the complaint for vacator was already filed.
It's
been stayed.
Yes. So there is a placeholder petition,
yes,
in California?
Yes, there is.
So as far as you know, if this court were to say, and I'm not presaging anything, I just want to understand this, if this court were to say Nevada has no jurisdiction. It should have been filed in California. They're still not out of luck in California.
That's my understanding. Okay. But even if they were, it's a choice that they made by right. coming to the wrong jurisdiction.
Yeah.
But I can't answer the question. But as far as your general jurisdiction question goes, Justice Pickering, pardon me. If I knew what caused it, I would get it fixed. I'm going to see I'm running out of time here. But to answer your question, Justice Pickering, just because it's a court of general jurisdiction, and I understand that, it didn't have subject matter jurisdiction over this matter because the parties expressly stated that jurisdiction fell in California. They took it out of the general
jurisdiction.
But it's
non-exclusive jurisdiction. They use that phrase.
They use that phrase, but if you read the term as a whole, it's between the federal and which court within the county that you went to. To say non-exclusive means I can go anywhere I want, which is essentially what they're saying is I have to arbitrate in California. It says that only by arbitration in California. And I don't think they dispute that. What they're saying is then I can pick any place I want to go confirm. I can go any place in the country, despite the fact and that I can, number one, violate the agreement in the first place by coming to Nevada, not petitioning for arbitration, filing a complaint and saying, I have this dispute. Well, disputes are handled in California. I think that's the problem. They came here, they violated the agreement in the first instance. Then they want to be rewarded for doing so. I think that's where the problem is. This is similar to the Northern Illinois and Chicago South Shore cases. In those, we had something similar. We had parties make an agreement to be in Indiana. Indiana, by the way, does not have the exclusivity clause for confirmation that we have. They go for expediency, they go to Chicago to arbitrate, because that's where the arbitrators were. They come back, Chicago South Shore goes to Illinois, Northern Indiana goes to Indiana. These rise up through the courts on the basis of jurisdiction. Ultimately, the Illinois Supreme Court decided, even though the Indiana Supreme Court said, we have jurisdiction, but it's not necessarily exclusive, but we're basing it on the agreement, the Illinois Supreme Court said, we don't. And I think that's we're in the position. This court is Illinois. And it should defer to where the parties arbitrated, what their agreement says. Their use of non-exclusive opens things up well beyond what the statute anticipates. And I think it's non-exclusive among the courts that are available. I'm going to reserve the rest of my time unless you have more questions, Your Honor.
No, I don't. Thank you.
May it please the court. My name is Tom Lawless. I'm a partner in Levy, Small and Lawless in Los Angeles, and it's a privilege and honor to be here before this court in this beautiful courtroom. My colleague is Jeremy Alberts, and Mr. Alberts is from the firm Weinberg, Wheeler, Hudgens, Gunn, and Dial, but I'll be making the arguments today. Distilled to its essence, the argument of the appellant is that we must accept a tortured definition of enforcement and construe enforcement under the note, which was referred to by Justice Pickering, as something different than confirmation. which is clearly contrary to the language of the note and the intent of the parties. If you accepted that argument at face value, it would mean that the parties were creating a redundant provision in the note, because it would, the note would mean that the parties could enforce only where the parties are subject to the jurisdiction of the court. Well, enforcement of an eventual judgment that follows confirmation is a different subject matter, and it's not something that would be provided for in a note. So in this case, the elements of the notes are unambiguously clear that arbitration was to occur in Los Angeles County, and it did, that California law was to be applied, and it does, that to the extent that there is jurisdiction in superior or federal courts in Los Angeles County, it's non-exclusive, and it was not utilized. And finally, that confirmation may be occurring in any jurisdiction where the parties are present. And that's what happened. Now,
even if the contract says that, don't we have a problem with what NRS 38.244 as part of the Uniform Arbitration Act requires?
Well, no.
Which can't be varied under 38.217.
For two reasons, I would say no. One is, California is not subject to the RUAA, and the second...
No, we are.
I understand. But the literal language of 2.44 does not divest this court of jurisdiction if the arbitration occurs elsewhere. It's mandatory and compulsory if the arbitration occurs in Nevada. In that case, the petition for confirmation must be in Nevada. But there is no negative inference that should be drawn from the plain language of the statute, which does not say if the arbitration occurs in California or a state other than Nevada, the Nevada District Court is divested of jurisdiction to confirm the arbitration and enter a judgment.
But isn't that what other Uniform Arbitration Act states have done and the commentary supports?
I would say no, Justice Kadish, and I have reviewed six cases that deal tangentially with this issue in different fact patterns. The cases are R-Trip, Chicago South Shore, Northern Indiana, Swan v. Sittenchat, and Swiss Mex. And all of these cases, which involve different fact patterns, have one common denominator. The thread that runs through all of them and is dispositive is that the courts look to the language of the arbitration agreement to determine where did the parties consent by contract to vest jurisdiction to confirm an arbitration award. And in each case, the language of the opinions states that the court will defer to the choices that have been made by the contract based upon the mutual consent of the parties, and only does it become problematic where in a particular case the contract does not indicate where enforcement or confirmation is to occur. So those six cases taken collectively support the position of the respondent that we're simply enforcing our rights under the promissory notes, each of which contains an identical arbitration clause and identical choice of law clause. Now, beyond that, I would say that what was stated...
But quite clearly under the Nevada, the UAA, it seems to me it says... Nevada is, if the arbitration occurs in Nevada, Nevada is the exclusive place for confirmation.
I agree.
And 317 says, or 38217, whatever it is, says you can't waive or change these provisions. So, if you have a contract for arbitration in Nevada, you could not agree to have that reviewed in California, could you?
If the contract provides for arbitration in Nevada, I would agree that that would require, if there were an award, the petition to be filed and confirmed in Nevada.
So the contract could not, consistent with the Nevada UAA, provide for arbitration in Nevada but confirmation in California?
That's exactly right. And, there, and if you look at the statute...
But you're saying the flip is not true because California is not a UAA state. You can have a contract that says arbitration in California, confirmation anywhere.
For that reason, and for the second reason, which is I don't read a negative inference into the Nevada statute, and I don't think it would be proper to do so.
What do you do with the Kentucky case that says it's a, you do, that as a matter of there's a policy determination in the UAA that we don't want forum shopping, and therefore where you have where the arbitration occurs is where the confirmation occurs?
Well, my answer to that would be twofold. That's not the statute that we're talking about. And second, there wasn't forum shopping here. We started with a district court case in Nevada
I want to understand legally, what do you do with the Kentucky case that seems to say under the Kentucky UAA, which is the same or similar to the Nevada UAA, you cannot have an arbitration occur elsewhere that gets confirmed in Kentucky?
That was a matter of contract, because the Kentucky arbitration clause did not state where the petition would be confirmed, where the award would be confirmed. And the court said we have no problem with this if the contract in the Kentucky case stated a specific place for the confirmation of the arbitration award. And that's the distinction.
You're saying the Kentucky case says that?
Yes.
Okay.
The comment to this section by the drafters of the revised Uniform Arbitration Act specifically say that this section follows the almost unanimous holdings that if the parties in their agreement designate a place for the arbitration proceeding, then that state has exclusive jurisdiction to determine the validity of an arbitrator's award. And in Nevada adopting the Uniform Act, it also specifically said that part of the point of that is to, in fact, interpret uniform laws uniformly, right? That's the whole point of having uniform acts. Wouldn't we be departing from the Uniform Act to do otherwise?
No, because I think what you would be doing is overriding California law, which was the law chosen by the parties.
Is that procedural or substantive?
Well, on the issue of what is procedural and substantive, that's an issue under MOV and FDIC that the arbitrator decides. And the arbitrator correctly decided that he had jurisdiction under the party's promissory notes to enforce an arbitration clause that said arbitration shall be in California, but enforcement shall be in a jurisdiction where the parties are all present, and there's no dispute that the parties are all present here. Desage is a local resident, Cadeau is a local resident, and AW Financial is a local resident. So for these reasons, there's no impediment under the RUAA or any of the Nevada statutes to the confirmation of an arbitration award. And if I said Nevada instead of Nevada, it was.
I'm sure your local counsel advised you otherwise.
Well, I know that because I grew up in Oregon, and I can always tell when there's a visitor when they say Willamette Valley instead of Willamette Valley.
Right.
So, having explained those points, then I'd like to go to this idea of there's a placeholder action in California. That's not right. It is true that Desage and Cadeau filed an action in California to block this state from enforcing the award, but that wasn't filed by AW Financial. We are now standing here after 8 years of litigation. The original case was filed in July 2011, and in December 2011, the district court, Judge Alf, denied the motion to dismiss and granted a stay. And so we complied literally with that order, and we had conducted an arbitration in California as as Judge Alf contemplated. And then we came back, as the notes require, to Nevada, where the parties are all present for enforcement. And I would say to you, the principal of AW Financial is here in court, and you know from the record, he was 81 at the time of the arbitration. He's 84 now. And the concept that he would have to start over based on a hyper-technical argument that doesn't find support in statutes or case law is beyond oppressive and unreasonable. And so it would be an improper inference to assume that there would be no prejudice to AW Financial to have to start over, where AW Financial did exactly what the arbitration clause contemplated here. This is a very simple case. It doesn't require the creation of any new law. There were three promissory notes totaling $21 million. It's an enforcement and collection action under the notes. The notes all have California law as the governing law. The notes all provide for non-exclusive jurisdiction in California. The notes all state that arbitration shall be in California, and that's where it occurred. The notes state that enforcement may be in any jurisdiction where the parties are present, and that is what has happened in Nevada. Mr. Desage admitted signing the notes. They were notarized. They were authenticated. The arbitrator awarded a judgment of $36 million, which included $2 million of punitive damages because of the fraudulent and oppressive conduct of Mr. Desage. This is not a case that implicates any constitutional issues or that requires the courts to establish new law, because in every respect, AW Financial complied with the law and the orders. And beyond that, the arbitrator, this is a case in which Mr. Desage, before his criminal indictment occurred, admitted the obligation. In his divorce proceeding from Deborah Desage, he admitted he owed $24 million at that time before prejudgment interest applied to AW Financial. And during the arbitration, Mr. Desage produced documents before he started asserting the Fifth Amendment, which he was entitled to do, but not entitled to a stay as a result of asserting the Fifth Amendment under Avant and Keating. But the documents, the business records that he produced, all confirmed the debt that was owed by Mr. Desage.
Let me pause you there. I want to understand it. My understanding is that, and I'm switching topics, so I'm interrupting you, and I apologize. But California Civil Procedure Code Section 1288 says you have 4 years, as I understand it, to file a petition to confirm an arbitration award. Is that your understanding as well?
I don't have that in front of me, but I'm certainly willing to accept that representation.
If that's so, then if the Nevada court did not have jurisdiction, AW Financial would still be able to either, would be able to petition to confirm the award in California, would it not?
Within that parameter, but what I'm referring to is the prejudice to AW Financial for the lapse of time that has occurred, this 8-year period and 3 years after the entry of the final judgment.
If you didn't have to do the arbitration over again, if it was just a matter of seeking confirmation, though, you could file for confirmation in California.
Theoretically, we would, yes. And these arguments that have been made today don't go to the merits of the underlying award or the scope of review, and so I'm not addressing any of those things. But as we've stated, the statutes do not require where there's an arbitration in California and there's existing jurisdiction and existing pending action in Nevada, that the Nevada court divest itself of that jurisdiction. The Nevada court did exactly the right thing. Judge Alf was procedurally correct by denying the motion to dismiss but granting a stay so that and ordering the parties to arbitration.
Let me pause you there, though, and I'll give her an extra minute or two. Because
sure.
What is the source of law that Nevada would be applying to review of this arbitration award?
For the standard?
Yes.
What's the standard for the review of the arbitration award?
Yeah, procedurally. You invoked Chapter 38 of the NRS.
Well, the scope, as far as the scope of review for the arbitration award, the cases I would cite to you on that subject include Seiler.
Now, my understanding is when you petitioned to confirm the award in Nevada, you did so under Chapter 38 of
correct.
The Nevada Revised Statutes,
that's
correct?
Right. That's right.
And it seems to me that statute doesn't apply to your claims because this was not a Nevada arbitration.
Well, my answer to that is that's a non-exclusive interpretation of the statute
okay.
because there's nothing in the statute that says Nevada is powerless to confirm an arbitration award where the parties have consented to jurisdiction in Nevada. So
okay.
So here, where the parties specifically consent to jurisdiction, wherever the parties are present for the confirmation of an award, there's no affirmative language, none cited by the court, none cited by the appellants, none cited in any case or any statute that says Nevada is deprived of subject matter jurisdiction because the arbitration occurred elsewhere. There's no question that if the arbitration occurred in Nevada under the RUAA, Nevada would be the place to confirm the award. But the converse is not true, and there's no law that supports it.
Well, but if the policy in the UAA, and I think reasonable minds can differ on the appropriateness of this policy, and they do, that commentators, some support California's confirm anywhere approach, but the UAA drafters want to discourage forum shopping and probably by extension, a contract calling for arbitration whereby the dominant party is then saying, well, we can enforce this anywhere across the United States, and this is our contract clause. I think that's a policy issue, perhaps, under the statute. Now, maybe I'm reading too much into the policy, and the words aren't there.
I have two responses. Thank you. First, we didn't forum shop. This is not a case where we got an arbitration award and we started searching for other states, courts, or jurisdictions to get the most favorable
confirmation.
Well, but
you preemptively did by filing your suit in California, in Nevada.
The lawyers who did that had the right to do that because all defendants were present. There were other defendants in Nevada who were not then parties to the arbitration agreement. Planet Earl, Planet Hollywood, Robert Earl, and others. And so the defendants then had the right to file a motion to dismiss, and if you go back to the record and look at the motion to dismiss, you'll see, well, some of the defendants agreed to be bound by the arbitration agreement. So because if we look at this at the snapshot
in time, you're going to have to wrap up, I'm sorry.
Sure. Because everybody was here, the filing of a civil action in the District Court of Nevada was not improper. And then everything that followed was consistent with the order, the statute, and the contract. So for that reason, on a procedural basis, there's no authority, contract, case, or rule that would require this court to divest itself of jurisdiction. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
I'll add an additional 3 minutes to your time.
Your Honor hit it on the head, and that is California law is what has to be applied no matter what. And can they come here and confirm first, even if they could, which they can't, it would have to be under California law, and that wasn't used. Second, the district court wrongly used CCP 1292.2 to retain jurisdiction. But that presumes, California doesn't give it some place, presumes that it was properly filed, the petition was properly filed in the first place. They may have come in because there were other defendants. They have no right to sue Desage here. No right at all to sue Desage here. All agreements would be done under arbitration. They have no right to come here and sue Desage. That's form shopping. Coming here and illegally and improperly suing Desage. And under the California Code, so there's nothing to work. If we arbitrated here, we'd have to confirm here. That's what he said. Well, any petition made at, in under CCP 1292.2, any petition made after commencement or completion of arbitration shall be made in a court having jurisdiction in the county where the arbitration is being or has been held. Has been held. California is not saying, go ahead and take my California arbitration someplace else. First, there was no jurisdiction to begin with. The district court retained jurisdiction improperly. It should have dismissed, granted the motion to dismiss in its entirety. Mr. Desage's understanding at the time of her retaining jurisdiction was to be able to enter a judgment or enforce a judgment on the award. Enforcement and confirmation are different. Some of the problems is that they are obfuscating the language to try and hijack confirmation. Again, the California Code, which is not under the RUAA, has pretty much the same language. If you arbitrate here, you confirm here, and you do it in the county and place where arbitration took place.
What so, say you to your friend on the other side's comment that the Kentucky lead case on, or what looked to be the Kentucky lead case, had different contractual language? Let's assume for the sake of argument that his interpretation of the contract is correct. Legally, is that what determined the outcome in the Kentucky case?
We're talking about True Green and Atrium?
Mm-hmm. In other words, if the parties had a contract that specified for California arbitration,
mm-hmm.
located in California, but then provided, but enforcement can occur in any court in the United States, would that contract language be invalidated by the UAA?
I believe it would if they were subject to that.
But they weren't. They did it in California. Right,
except the California, they also agreed to be bound by California law. So it doesn't matter if it's the UAA or not. California says that you get your confirmation, a petition for confirmation, anything after arbitration has commenced or completed, where you arbitrate. So even if it's not the RUAA explicitly, it's what California law requires.
And they ignore that. Can legally agree to have arbitration in one place and provide for enforcement anywhere else?
I think that depends on how you define enforcement. And I'm going to go back to that because enforcement is two parts. And the word confirmation is nowhere in here.
So is this court to analyze whether it has jurisdiction or not under the RUAA or under the California Code? Which is it?
I think you need to look to the California Code because California law applies. California law applies to how the arbitration, how everything takes place. Can I continue?
You may finish.
Thank you. But for Nevada to determine if it has subject matter jurisdiction, right, which is the only thing it has the right to look for under this case, I think has to look to its own law, and it doesn't have jurisdiction here.
Okay.
Its own law says...
So to determine the jurisdiction, we look at our RUAA provisions.
I'm going to reverse myself on that. I think you need to look at California law. They want to be held to California law. We look to California law.
Okay. Okay, very well. This matter will stand submitted. I thank the parties and their lawyers for their excellent arguments. And we will be in recess momentarily. We're going to restructure the panel.